chakra two, or gateway two. So we're going down to the second line there. You look at chakra, so you had chakra one, you filled in your chakra one chart, same sort of thing. Writing in your core profile quality and your defensive profile in that chakra, as you learn about it, it's very important because you want to see how your core profile quality is served by your unique second chakra and how it is not served by, and your, it's your, so your core quality, your primary profile is served by your second chakra, and how that your second chakra really didn't sort of naturally serve your defense. It was forced to. So the second chakra is where, so like we said, first chakra is survival, second chakra is pleasure. So the first chakra is the world, you experience the world. Second chakra, and we work with chakras both in a front element, which are your is your relational quality of the second chakra, and a rear quality, which has to do with your own individual will and how you will personally use the energy of that chakra. So the second chakra is right at the waist, and the second chakra is where you feel. So your first chakra creates the world, and your body is your world. Your body gives you a foundation. Now, what's really cool is that your nervous system that is in that body gets energized, your nervous system, your metabolism, everything gets energized by your second chakra. So how much energy you have or are born with or are supposed to have is the second chakra. And the second chakra is literally your, if you want to, sort of touch your skin, touch your hands, and just notice that you can feel, you can let feeling in. And so right now, if you're aware of your room, now when you move to the second chakra, your consciousness is aware of your room and its temperature, how close things are to you. As you're listening to my words, there's a vibration coming off your body that's sort of bouncing off of the objects in the room, and you're feeling their vibration as well, their presence, their tone. And your second chakra begins your body into realizing that you're part of a vibrational world, a vibrational universe, and you feel it, and it actually flows when you're able to let that in. So the universe is constantly moving and flowing, and sounds are bouncing off of you. And how well you let the world in is your second chakra. So how deeply can you feel? And some people have incredibly deep ability to feel. And they have, especially the emotional intelligence specialists and the charismatic leaders, are both super feelers. They feel everything. They're incredibly sensitive. And of course, when we get into the vows, if you're super sensitive, you may vow when you're crying a lot, or your emotions, flip, and you were highly emotional because you were so had so many feelings running through your body as a child. You may have vowed not to honor those feelings anymore and hold them back, and so that can be a very powerful vow. So the second chakra is, of course, where we have sexuality, sensuality, and the second chakra, the first chakra is where you're one, you're individual. The second chakra is where you then begin to reach out and let yourself be nurtured by others and get your needs met by others. And so whether they're sexual needs or the physical needs of nurturing, the second chakra forms, first chakra forms from birth to about 6 months or so. That's where most of your, you do more growing in the first 6 months than you do for the rest of your life. It's a huge amount of mass is being developed, and it's very unconscious, just sort of growth. Second chakra is where you start realizing, hey, I'm hungry. Hey, I got a wet diaper. Hey, I got this. And you start communicating in very rudimentary ways what your needs are. And so your second chakra is where you get your needs met. Now, of course, if your second chakra wasn't very well programmed because you didn't get your needs met, or somebody didn't know your exact needs and didn't feed you on time or didn't feed you what you wanted to be fed, you may once again feel like the world doesn't feed me. You may go into a poor me, or I don't need the world. I won't have any needs. And so the second chakra really, really allows you to feel who you are in the present moment. So your actual identity is in the second chakra. You will know who you are by how you feel. And the second chakra, which is the nervous system, is this incredibly complex, set of nerves in the body. And of course, every chakra has its own set of nerve ganglia that support it. But but the second chakra itself is the feeling center. And when the second chakra is really allowed to be open, it can feel all the way down to your soul and what it's calling you to do. When it is vowed against or held against and stopped feeling or feelings are denied, you lose touch with the world. You literally lose touch with the world, and that's a term of the second chakra. You lose your ability to find your way through the world through touch. So in the second chakra, you are literally wrestling with the world. You go outside and the wind hits you. And that can either be an amazing event where you just sort of say, wow, it's great. Or you hold your hair and you say, oh, my God, I just did my hair. And Jesus, I hate this. And you're in resistance to the flow of life rather than letting it in the way it is and just enjoy the pleasure of being alive. In the second chakra's highest capacity is pleasure. And it allows every experience that you have, including the hard ones, to be a pleasure, because the other option is if you were dead, you wouldn't have any of this pleasure. If you were out of your body, I give the example, if I could just take your soul out of your body, even just a few inches, you'd be a few inches away from your body, and you'd be like, no, put me back in there. I didn't even use it. And I never felt all the things I could feel or ate the things I wanted to eat because I had all these rules around, I can't ask for that, I can't allow that. So the second chakra deals with one-on-one relationship with the world, you and the world. How do you wrestle with the world? And that's why the sexual act is such a metaphor for the second chakra, where you are both giving and receiving at the same time and getting your needs met as well as the other person getting their needs met. And it's a bit of a wrestling match. And life in the second chakra is a bit of a wrestling match. And you need to know that even when someone asks you for something, that you simultaneously have a need. And each of the chakras are basically need machines. You know yourself through the needs of your chakras. When my heart chakra says, I'm lonely and I want to be with somebody, and I feel that as whatever it feels like in my body, whatever that feeling is, like, oh, that's a loneliness feeling. Then my whole system can say, okay, I'm gonna call a friend. I'm gonna do something with that. The second chakra allows us to feel our needs. If I feel hunger pangs in my stomach or my mouth is dry, like it is right now, I can remember I gotta take a drink every now and then, or I'm gonna be by 9 o'clock tonight, I'm gonna be a basket case. So I need to remind myself, oh yeah, I need to feel what's happening in my body. And so understanding that your feelings are essential. Now, it's really important as we're moving through these to recognize that your nervous system is different than everybody else's nervous system. So you look at your body, you have a unique body. You look at your second chakra, which is how you experience the world and how you feel and how you actually feel and how you actually can interpret the world. And nobody else in the world has one like yours. Nobody. You are unique in that way. And when you honor that your feelings are unique, you may start sharing them a lot more, rather than when you were a child and you shared your unique feelings and someone said, don't talk about that. Shut up. That's stupid. Whatever. Because they're not feeling that, it doesn't mean that it's not important. Your feelings are incredibly important. So let's go through the vows that you would make in the second chakra. Type of vows you might have made in the second chakra. I vow to never be needy. And often it's because there was a needy person in your family. My brother, my mother, somebody was so needy and I never got anything. So I vow to never be like that. Or I vow to always be loving and gentle, unlike my cold-hearted father or my uncle or whatever. So there's like this sense of I will always be soft and sort of, needy and giving to the needy. So needs become the sort of the focus of the second chakra, which they are. But when you vow to honor one side or the other, you get out of balance. I vow to only feel love and compassion for others, even though, when someone's mean to you, you may feel like killing them. You're really mad or something really upsets you and you need to be able to say, I'm really mad. Well, you may not have to act on that. But by having that feeling, if you had vowed to only be loving, every time you actually have anger at someone else, you have to go hide in a closet. You feel this terrible, sort of like I'm a terrible person because I vowed, and you won't even remember your vows at this point in the lower chakras. It's just sort of like, whenever I lashed out or was angry at my parents, I got no attention at all. And I learned that if I'm loving to other people, that's the way, that's how I get the most attention. And being mean or bad is terrible. And other people learned the exact opposite. They might have vowed to never be nice to anybody who's not nice to you first. I vow to never do more than I absolutely have to do. I vow to never give myself pleasure until the work is done. That's a pretty common one. I vow to never be sexy or seductive. I vow to live a sexual and sensual life. If it feels good, I want more. So it's like, you know, it's good. You can go either way around that. And some people can lead to lots of different addictions that vow will totally support. It's like, oh no, it's totally fine. It's not an addiction. I just love pleasure. I vow to see everyone as a possible sexual predator. So depending upon how your second chakra was wounded, you may vow to not trust people around second chakra around actual physical contact. I vow to never be vulnerable, and I will stay in control of my feelings. So those are typical vows in the second chakra. So I want you to think about sort of how did you vow, what types of things did you vow to be or not be or hide or hold back on or always be? I'm always going to be the fun. I'm always going to give, you know, I always give. And so write that on the vow line. And then the freedom statements for the second chakras are typically, I am open to taking care of myself and my needs, and I'm not going to, you know, it's not that I'm not needy, it's I'm realizing that it's my responsibility to get needs met. We may vow to always force others to take care of us. I'm open to saying, I want what I want, when I want it, so that my wants and needs can be met. And the types of things that the second chakra actually says, the power statements of the second chakra is, I hold no emotion back. I want to be totally inspired and passionate. I love my life. I want intimacy. I want playmates. I want passion. I'm called to my life by my feelings, not by my thinking. And so making a positive statement around some of your second chakra is very important. And that statement, when you find yourself in your negative patterns and your defensive patterns, is the statement that you go to. You know, if I'm open to feeling my needs and create boundaries appropriate in each moment, means that sometimes, my needs are more important than my children even. You know, some people will vow children's needs are always come before the adults, or others vow adult needs always come before children's. The reality is that in this present moment, you have to feel what the truth is and then go with that. So that's the vows. And then the excessive and deficient on the second chakra. Deficient second chakra, it has very rigid boundaries. They don't feel a lot, can't feel the world or let in its nurturance. They will either be the sort of creative idealists, you know, or the, well, it could be, you know, could be many of them. But anytime you're blocking your feelings, you're blocking the greatest pleasure you can have in life, and you're sort of walking through life in a rote kind of a way. Often postpone any type of gratification. Always postpone gratification. It's not bad to postpone gratification, especially if it leads to something greater. But that's what we do in the third chakra. You know, the second chakra sometimes just needs a back rub, just needs a hug, just needs a kiss. Nothing bad. Nothing. Just sort of like allowing yourself to receive what you need. Deficient second chakra has no healthy self-image. Rigid view of the self based on their memory. Eating disorders are first chakra. But basically they're not feeling, you know, if somebody is anorexic, they don't allow themselves to feel the hunger pains because there's an image in their, both their third and their first chakra that says, I'm fat. And it doesn't matter how bones thin they are, they stand in front of the mirror and they see themselves as fat. And so they feel their stomach is constantly saying, you're starving me to death, I'm dying. And they literally are unwilling to feel that feeling because of the strong belief that the mind has over and the sense of who I am is fat. So deficient second chakra is dissociated from their feelings and their needs, not a lot of passion, not a lot of ability to build up emotion, and, you know, it can even be emotionally numbs. And a lot of those are kind of negative. I mean, it can just be subtle. It can just be sort of like, you know, I don't feel what everybody else feels. I'm not really connected to my feelings, and I don't really feel my guidance that much. So when you're deficient in the second chakra, any type of sensitivity training, emotional expression, emoting, yelling, screaming in the car, getting angry, practicing getting angry, not at other people, that's called aggression. Anger is something that actually heats up your body and allows you to make a decision to be stronger in yourself. Screaming in the car, swimming, playing, anything that gets you flowing and moving again. So deficient is very rigidly held back. And you lose the flow of life, which is what the second chakra is about, and the pleasures. And so anything, dancing, breath work, and certainly plenty of sexual play and touch, not just sort of the 7:15 sex or 9:15 sex to 9:30, but just sort of playing sexually and intimately and touching intimacy with your partner and learning how to do energy work where you're feeling the energy moving back and forth. All those things are great things for a deficient second chakra. An excessive second chakra, very overreactive, full of automatic emotions that appear to be real. So excessive second chakra often isn't even driven by the second chakra. It's driven by the mind that often triggers emotional reaction to things that thing isn't even there. It's like an overreaction to life. Very driven by needs and desires. It's like, you know, they're driven to, it's my coffee, I gotta get my coffee. I don't have my cigarettes with me. Oh, I can't go, I can't do anything without my, so there's all these needs and all. Addiction, stimulation, money, drugs, control, emotional control over other people. Addictions are very high up if you have an excessive second chakra. Very strong emotions. Only feel alive when they're in crisis. So very, you know, often the excessive second chakra is a person that, you know, loves to be in crisis all the time. And can't postpone gratification, doesn't have a strong enough third chakra to deal with the second chakra that says, I want it now, and I'm going to have a tantrum if I don't get it. Or they have seductive manipulation and neediness to control others, can't contain, they blurt things out, and they'll have excessive attachment to things. It's like, that's my thing, that's what I do. And anybody gets in the way of it, all of a sudden it explodes. Fixated on one emotional solution to a problem, like always being angry or always being sad or always loving everything or always leaving my body or always feeling abandoned. So that type of thing is an excessive second chakra trait. To bring the excessive second chakra into balance, we need to contain the emotions long enough so that you can actually use the energy for something constructive, not just vent them. And sometimes you can just, you know, if someone has excessive second chakra, they can just be big talkers. They talk all about their feelings. Oh, I got to tell you about this. I got to tell you about that. You never get them off the phone because they're excessively, they might have excessive fifth chakra as well, but they excessively talk about their feelings and sort of, work with them, you know, overfeel them. Meditation on how to feel their emotions and move through them and allow their emotions without the automatic reaction. So learning how to have detachment practice. Notice that when they're feeling something, somebody else isn't actually causing it. So if you ever feel like someone else is causing you to feel something, you are probably in the excessive second chakra dimension rather than realizing, oh, all my feelings are mine and I take responsibility for them. Okay, so figure out which ones of those are yours and write in on your line, excessive or deficient. Which one do you tend towards? Or am I excessive with this at the home? Am I deficient at work? How do I manage my second chakra? It's very important that you recognize that because, once again, when you are either excessive or deficient or have a vow in a chakra, you are limiting the amount of energy that's accessible to you right now to live your life purpose. That's all you're doing. And when you get used to that idea, you can't afford those behaviors anymore because 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's not going to get any better. You're just going to have lived all of that time without all of the energy that you can possibly have. And so we bring these forward very in a very important way. So we got to get to third chakra.